Vortex Temporum. Composers and the inner thoughts about this and that. A podcast by Lee Mina and Art Nutin.
Jorge Luis Borges once said that during his many lectures, he observed that the personal is preferred to the general, the concrete to the abstract. Following this formula, I have decided to dedicate these minutes to tell my humble personal story as a music listener and lover. At the same time, in the background, you will listen to a collage of the music I have discovered step by step, following a temporal order from my childhood to my adulthood. Although pop and commercial music always attracted me to a greater or lesser extent, my idyll with music really began with the discovery of classical music. This probably started around the age of 8, when I first listened to my best friend from school, who was just starting to study piano at the time. He played for me Beethoven's Fuge Elise. I had never heard a piano so close, and no one ever played music just for me. It also sounded different as I expected. In a way, this music, with all its parameters, started to make sense in my head since this moment. After that, I had no choice but to force my parents to buy some classical music recordings. So they bought some CDs on sale at the supermarket, probably thinking that this was just another of my foolishness. Those first three recordings included some famous violin concertos by Vivaldi and some famous piano pieces by Beethoven, including, of course, the one Fuge Elise, and also some single movements of his sonatas and piano concertos. The other album was not a CD but a cassette that included a selection of classical music greatest hits, a collection of ultra-famous pieces, but that I did not know yet, and that helped me to start to get the hang of it. After that, other similar CDs followed, mainly collection of again, greatest hits, like the very famous At Least in My Country, Adagio Carajan. That also served to elaborate a first mental map of the history of music, and to begin to know names, dates, instruments, and so on. In general, the dynamic was always the same. First, I randomly got to know a work that I liked, and then I bought CDs of that composer and began to discover his works. Around the age of 10, I began my musical training in a symphonic band of wind instruments. My instrument was the French horn. There we played a very diverse repertoire, from arrangements of classical music to film or popular music. One of the first pieces I played with that wind band orchestra was an arrangement of Holst's The Planets. What a wonderful work for a pre-teenager. Of course, I immediately went with my father to buy the CD of that work. Each of those CDs were like relics that I adored over and over again, windows to unknown territories that I craved to know. Listening to music in concert halls was not enough. I needed to play each piece over and over again. But there came a time when my desire to know new pieces and composers was limited by the price of the CDs and my parents' refusal to continue buying them. At that time, I discovered the Spanish classical music station Radio Clásica. Luckily, my parents' stereo had the possibility to record music from the radio on cassette. In addition, this same station published a monthly magazine with a detailed program of all of the works that were going to be programmed during the following month, which helped me to make a pre-selection of all the works that I wanted to record during that month. On many occasions, I had to wake up in the middle of the night in order to record these pieces. After several years, I accumulated hundreds of cassettes and also CDs that I kept buying. In my teenage years, I began to delve into 20th century music, especially symphonic music by composers such as Shostakovich, Mahler, Bruckner, Prokofiev, Richard Strauss or Stravinsky, which I listened to obsessively over and over again, as if I had a hunger that never ended. Although it is embarrassing to say this, that hunger led me to do some mischief, as on more than one occasion I stole a CD or two from my usual music store. It wasn't really difficult and it also gave me some teenager adrenaline. One day though, while trying to steal a CD from a different store than my usual one, a security guard caught me and took me to his office, where he took my personal information. That CD included pieces by Barber and William Schumann, and was conducted by Bernstein and played by the New York Philharmonic. I never forget that. The storekeeper looked at me with a very surprised face. How could it be that a kid this age would try to steal something like that? At that time, I also started playing in a wind quintet, which led me to play and discover, among other works, the Kleine Kammermusik by Hindemith or the fantastic Six Bagatelles by Ligeti. So, of course, shortly after, I bought a new CD with several works by Ligeti. I usually relate this moment as the beginning of my interest in contemporary music and composition in general. You know, I could have been a doctor or a computer scientist, but no, I decided to dedicate my life to something way more difficult and much less practical. Thanks, Ligeti. Little by little, I discovered more and more less usual music. Music that was not on the radio or even on the CDs in my usual store. I'm talking about composers from the second half of the 20th century, like Shenakis, Penderecki, Stockhausen, Lachenmann, Grisey, and much more obscure composers. Luckily, at that time, you could find already things like that on the internet, especially through the first P2P softwares, like Napster, LimeWire or SoulSeek. It wasn't easy, but sometimes you could really find pieces by these composers, which of course I collected and recorded on CDs. In general, I think that this difficulty to find music that I experienced since I was a child motivated me to keep searching and finding music, because the very fact of finding all this new music generated a lot of satisfaction. Perhaps something similar to paleontology or the search for pirate treasures. Moreover, this difficulty facilitated a progressive and relatively slow learning, appropriate to the age. Today it is so easy to find any music, even the most obscure, for free, fast and easy. That is no longer so rewarding. It's all already on YouTube, even with the score. There is no need to search anymore. Anyway, although there is no need to search or collect anymore, I admit that I am a YouTube addict, where I spend several hours a day listening and reading scores. When I had discovered enough music from the 20s and 21st centuries, at some point I gradually went backwards again, listening this time with more experienced ears to music from previous centuries. These musics have accompanied me and have continued to do so ever since. Somehow, this listening for so many years has also been part of my compositions. In most of them, there are mentions in one way or another to these musics, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. Intertextuality, or working with the music of others in my own music, has been and is one of the main characteristics of my compositions. And this is undoubtedly due to the importance that the phenomenon of listening to music has had in my life since I was a child. I claim all that music as mine, because that music is me.
You listen to Manuel Rodriguez Valenzuela. This episode was released on the 2nd April 2024. Vortex Temporum is a podcast by Limina and Arte no Tempo.